Well, good evening and welcome to another 2 hours of Jewish soul music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. Each week I try to bring you the best in the mixture of Jewish music. And if you're a regular listener, you know by now, but there are some new listeners. So the first hour is everything but Chazanis. And then the second hour is strictly Chazanis. So we appeal to everyone. I hope you've been enjoying the programs, and you know they are archived, and this is show number 40. 40 shows already. It's getting up there. Actually, I've been broadcasting since 1977, and we have a few hundred tapes of shows over the years, and someday we'll have to get them back online somehow or other. My friend Mendy Werdecker, a few years ago, put all of my radio programs onto his website, and I think it's been a lot of fun listening to some of the old programs, and I'll share that with you sometime in the future. Okay, let's get right to the music. By the way, I just want to give you a heads up. We are going to have a very special interview during the second hour with Jeffrey Nadel. And Saul, I know you'll be very excited about it. It's going to be a very interesting interview. Jeffrey Nadel, a wonderful cantor from the wonderful Abe Nadel family. We'll hear more about that. And I'll be debuting a particular selection from a new album that's coming out by Yonke Lemmer. It's going to be available this week. But first, let's get to the music. And this is Tzvika Pick with Shehechiyonu from the 1973 Hasidic Song Festival, 36 years ago, 1973. Hashem Elokeinu, Melech Haolam, Shehechiyanu Vekimanu Vehigiyanu Lazman Hazeh. Shehechiyanu Vekimanu Vehigiyanu Lazman Hazeh.
שחיינו וקימנו והגיענו לזמן הזה שחיינו וקימנו והגיענו לזמן הזה שחיינו
Shehechiyonu, that was Tzvika Pick, and that was from the 1973 Hasidic Song Festival. 73, wow, 37 years ago. I don't know why they don't make those festivals anymore. I guess they just don't know how to make that music anymore. You had such great festivals, the Israeli Song Festival, Hasidic Song Festival, Sephardic Song Festival, and so forth. There was even a Chazonis Song Festival. I do have a couple of recordings of that going back to the 60s, I believe. Well, you're all familiar with Velvel Pasternak, and you know the wonderful work that he's done in restoring and recording and printing the Jewish music, and it's certainly for historical purposes, if for no other reason, it's a labor of love for him, I know. But about 50 years ago, he had a choir. It was the Pasternak Chorus, and let's hear V'korev Pizurenu. This is the Velvel Pasternak Chorus from just a few years back. Just a few years. Well, that's the first album of our dear friend Velvel Pasternak. It was called The Treasury of Hasidic Song, And I just want to read from the notes here. This was a Stambler album of Collectors Guild, by the way. And it says, Melville Pasternak, young Toronto-born choral conductor and musicologist, was brought up in a deeply Hasidic atmosphere. He came to New York to attend Yeshiva University, where he got his BA in 1955. Then he went to the Juilliard School of Music and Columbia University, where he got his MA in 1957. Since then, he has been occupied with teaching and conducting Jewish music. This is his first recording. So this is a treasury of Hasidic song, and of course, you all know about Velvel if you're involved at all in Jewish music. A wonderful family. And he's just been doing a great job in saving Jewish music. Well, this next selection is from an album, I played it just recently, Shivat Zion, The New Hasidic Sound. And if I may just read this to you, 7 yeshiva students, including 1 ordained rabbi, 7 university students, including 3 lawyers, 1 social worker, 1 computer scientist, 1 political scientist, and 1 Judaic scholar, 7 new olim from the USA, 7 musicians. This is Shivat Zion. Some of these names you might recall: Josh Rosenzweig, Dov Frimmer, Barry Schlesinger, Yosef Poplak, Yaakov Gross, David Robb, and Mutti Kornfeld. And it just says that Shivat Zion reveals a fresh dimension in musical experience. This is from 1975, 35 years ago. Okay, let's hear V'chuk Kasan. And this is Shivat Zion.
Hatan yotze mechupato vehu vehu kechatan yotze mechupato yasis kegi
la 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 la
Shivat Sion, easy music. I hope you enjoyed that. Well, I'm so pleased to welcome some new listeners, in particular my dear friends Isabel and Seymour Tabachnik. I know they're out there in Western Jersey. And hey, listen, I got listeners in Canada right now and also down in Australia. So you're right around the corner. I'm glad that you're able to get the computer working, and I have a surprise for you in a few minutes, but let's get to Gershon Voroba, and this is Mim Komcha, Gershon Voroba. That was Gershon Voroba with Mim Komcha. Well, Nechama Lifshitz came to Israel from Russia. I believe it was Russia or Eastern Europe about 35 or 40 years ago. She made quite a hit there, and I have many of her recordings. This is one of her famous ones. It was a favorite of mine for many years and still is. This is Shabbos with Nechama Lifshitz. Before a live audience. Ya ba 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 ba
Shabbos, Shabbos.
Well, that was Nechama Lifshitz, and I hope you enjoyed that. Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos. Well, you know that laughter is the best medicine. It really is. And when I give my presentation of Jewish comedy, I always point out how Norman Cousins was able to cure himself through laughter. And it has been discovered that when you laugh, endorphins are formed and they fight illness. This past Saturday evening, I had the pleasure of being at the home of Mark and Jill Walensik and presenting for the Chabad of Briarcliff Manor. And that's with Rabbi David and his wife Miriam Labkowski. We had a wonderful crowd, and they were very, very receptive to Jewish comedy and to Alan Sherman, which I'll be playing. I'll be playing Alan in a minute. You know, it's interesting. I've done this presentation a couple hundred times, and you never quite know whether the crowd is into hello mother, hello father. But this group was into it. No, I'm not going to play that one. But just to give you a little forespice, I play recordings of Myron Cohen and Mickey Katz and Betty Walker and Mousy Lawrence and the like. And then there's a few jokes on the side. Of course, doing the Chabad, I just had to start out and say, you know, how do we know that there are no humans on the moon? Because there's no Chabad house there. But one of my favorite jokes to get started is Moshe comes to the rabbi and he says, Rabbi, I think that my wife is trying to poison me. And the rabbi says, well, bring her in. I'll talk to her. So he brings the wife in. Rabbi spends about an hour and a half and the wife walks out of the room. Moshe goes in and says, new rabbi? He says, take the poison. Oh, well, it's much funnier in a crowd. But I do know, or I do hope, that some of those who attended the Saturday evening presentation are listening this evening. So I dedicate this to you, and I welcome you as new listeners. Perhaps you'll enjoy this music. As I mentioned, the first hour is a mixture of everything but cantorial music, and the second hour is strictly cantorial music. And this evening I have a very special interview coming with Jeffrey Nadel. But let's go to Alan Sherman and one of his classics, and this is Harvey and Sheila.
Harvey and Sheila, Harvey and Sheila, Harvey and Sheila, oh, the day they met. Harvey and Sheila, Harvey and Sheila, Harvey and Sheila, no one will forget. Harvey's a CPA, he works for IBM. He went to MIT and got his PhD. Sheila's a girl I know at BBDNO. She works the PBX and makes out the checks. Then came one great day when Harvey took the elevator. Sheila got in two floors later. Soon they both felt they were falling. Everyone heard Sheila calling, ring the bell, but they fell. Harv and Sheila fell in love. Harvey and Sheila, Harvey and Sheila, Harvey and Sheila chose a wedding ring. Harvey and Sheila, Harvey and Sheila, Harvey and Sheila married in the spring. She shopped at A&P, he bought a used MG. They sat and watched TV on their RCA. Borrowed from HFC, bought some AT&T, and on election day worked for JFK. Then they went and got a charge of plate from R.H. Macy, bought a lay at Pink and Lacey. Then they had twin baby girls, both with dimples, both with curls, one named B, one named K. Soon they joined the PTA. Harvey and Sheila, Harvey and Sheila, Harvey and Sheila moved to West LA. Harvey and Sheila, Harvey and Sheila, Harvey and Sheila flew TWA. They bought a house one day, financed by FHA. It had a swimming pool full of H2O. Traded their used MG for a new XKE. Switched to the GOP, that's the way things go. Oh, that Harvey, he was really smart. He used his noodle. Sheila bought a white French poodle. Went to Europe with a visa. Harvey's rich, they say that he's a VIP. This could be only in the USA.
That was Alan Sherman. Now, you know that, or you may not know that he died at a very young age. I think it was about 49 years old, and he died over 30 years ago. But I have 11 albums of his. Actually, I was remiss on Saturday night. There is a song that he does, which is a great spoof. It's called Westchester Hadassah, and it's to the tune of Winchester Cathedral. Now, that'll date you. I mean, this is certainly going back 35, 40 years ago. And, I should have played that. That would have been great. Okay, so I can't... I admit I fouled up. No one's perfect. No. Okay, let's hear the 101 strings. I have so many instrumental recordings, and I really don't play enough of them. This is Shane Vidilavuna with 101 strings. Shane Vidilavuna, that was a quickie with the 101 strings. Well, I dedicate this next selection to my dear friends, Isabel and Seymour Tabachnik. And I know you're listening, and I'm just wondering, have you ever heard of Charles A. Levine? Charles A. Levine. I have to give you a little history about this, and Seymour, I think you'll get a kick out of this. Isabel also. Light was just breaking in the eastern sky as the plane, patriotically named the Columbia, lifted off the runway straight into the rising sun. It was 6:05 a.m. at Roosevelt Field, Long Island, Saturday, June 4th, 1927. Aboard was the pilot, Clarence Chamberlain, and a last-minute, recklessly courageous passenger. Slowly pulling its heavy weight, the propeller clawing at the air, the plane ascended. The passenger's wife screeched in horror. She had come to the field to watch the historic event with her husband, who owned the Columbia. To her sheer terror, they took off. He told her they were just going to taxi around the field to let him get a feel for the aircraft. The passenger owner had written his will. He left his fortune to his wife and his two daughters, one of which was an infant of less than a year. The young wife watched, sickened, thinking she would be a widow in a matter of hours. Her husband, his pilot, together with his aircraft, soon would be lost beneath the cold, empty waves of the North Atlantic forever. Anyway, that's what she thought. She angrily cried aloud. If she had known that her husband intended to fly with Chamberlain, she would have burned the plane first. Adventure, challenge, courage, imagination gripped the country. It was the new age of possible. It was the new age of reaching upward to God. It was the age of aviation. 2 weeks earlier, May 20th, Charles A. Lindbergh had lifted off the same airfield on his historic solo mission across the Atlantic. The Columbia was a better designed and more powerful aircraft than Lindbergh's Spirit of St. Louis. It was designed by Giuseppe Bolanco with the help from the Wright Brothers firm. It had been ready, sitting for weeks in a hangar near the Spirit of St. Louis, but it was grounded by a lawsuit the owner of the Columbia was embroiled in. The owner of the Columbia, a hard-paced, aggressive businessman of barely 30, had made millions in the scrap metal business at the end of World War One. At the end of the World War, his parents were immigrants from Vilna. He was the successful American dream, even having married a local beauty queen. He was more than just an American dream. He was the symbol of all that freedom could bring his people from the old world. His name was Charles A. Levine. Levine's initials were the same as Lindbergh's, C-A-L. Levine was not Lindbergh. Levine was something Lindbergh despised. Levine was a Jew, an American Jew born in North Adams, Massachusetts in 1897 and was raised in Brooklyn, New York. The plane landed in Berlin with an estimated 100,000 people cheering wildly, excitedly for the Christian and the Jew. Levine and Chamberlain were celebrated as heroes by the media, by the world. Royalty, society, and women threw themselves at Levine, and he responded. The president of Germany, Paul von Hindenburg, personally welcomed them. The American ambassador to Germany met the flyers and presented a congratulatory cable from the president of the United States, Calvin Coolidge. The laudatory cable was addressed to Clarence Chamberlain alone. Calvin Coolidge was somewhat of an anti-Semite. He couldn't congratulate Levine. In the ensuing weeks, Charles A. Levine was granted a private audience by the Pope in the Vatican. It was the first private audience granted to an American ever in the throne room. Levine was speechless as the Pope blessed him. And the Jews in America and Europe went wild with adulation for one of their own. Jewish breasts swell with pride. And this was really something. He was the first aviator in history. so they claimed. He was the passenger, but his life, that was his 15 minutes of fame. And I'm not going to bore you with all the details of his sordid life thereafter, but he went broke and back in business, back and forth. And here's what the New York Times obituary wrote on December 18th, 1991. Charles A. Levine, 94, is dead. He's the first transatlantic air passenger. He became aviation's first transatlantic passenger in 1927 when he sponsored an attempt to beat Charles A. Lindbergh to Europe. And he was 94 years old. And just a postscript here. Charles A. Levine, the intrepid first transatlantic passenger, has disappeared from his history. His resting place is unknown. For a brief, shining moment, he was the pride of Jewry. He was the brave, fearless adventurer who represented what could be for American Jewry. And, okay, if you go to Google, by the way, and you put in Charles A. Levine, there's so much written about him. Now, why am I going through all this? Because the next selection is Capellier, and the song is Levine and His Flying Machine. Yeah, there was a method to my madness.
Über große Jammen. Und man singt von sehr viel mit ihm. Nur ein Jedel darf man nicht versammeln. Singen Leute, singen wegen ihm. Levine, Levine, bist der Held jetzt von Jesrol. Levine, Levine, wie die Office. Und amol, wenn Chamberlain ist gekommen dort, bist du gewähnt mit ihm, bald auf dem Mord. Levine, Levine, nicht geklärt und nicht gedacht, hast du dein Numen kreis gemacht. Mit Braches und Zoll, und schier dein Israel, Levine, mit dein Flying Machine. Levine, of your race. Levine, Levine, you're the greatest Hebrew ace. We got a thrill when Chamberlain flew, but you were right there too. We're proud of you, Levine, Levine. Just an ordinary name, but you brought it everlasting fame. We welcome you home from over the foam, Levine, with your flying machine. Azoy is dort in alle Wissenschaften. Via Nord steht dort in Aid. Sein Hochmes, sein größte Kraften. Via Nord steht bald in der Mitte, Levine, Levine, bist der Held jetzt von Yisroel. Levine, Levine, wie die Abis von Amol. Wenn Chamberlain ist gekommen dort, bist die gewähnt mit ihm bald auf dem Mord. Levine, Levine, just an ordinary name, but you brought it everlasting fame. Yes, sir. We welcome you home from over the foam, Levine, with your flying machine.
Seymour and Isabel, I hope you enjoyed that. That was Capellier with Levine. Let's see, what's the name of that selection? I have it written here. It's Levine and his flying machine. Well, that that was very difficult to figure out, right? In any event, it's as you know, I've been having a marathon for Adon Olam. What is a marathon? I have so many recordings of Adon Olam, so each week I play a different one. I went through L'cha Dodi's, I don't know, 20 or so, and I keep finding more. And what's my next one going to be? Well, I got a request. Somebody who hasn't listened to my program, my old program, and now that this is being heard around the world, I'm going to redo it. Started this a couple years ago. I played various versions of the Kiddush, and in a few weeks I'll be starting that again. I got a special request. By the way, if you have any special requests, I try to honor them if I can. It's not 100% sure that I have the recording or whatever, but if you do have requests, you can contact me at CBJ Music. That's CBJ Music at AOL.com. And the next selection will be the continuation of the Adon Olam Marathon. And since I'm going to be interviewing Jeffrey Nadel next hour, it's certainly appropriate that I play the Abe Nadel Choir, which had the Nadel children singing Adon Olam. So let's hear that right now. Adon Olam, Abe Nadel's choir.
Bechef tzokho בטרם כל יציר נברו ליאת נוסו בחפצו כל אזי מלך שמוי
Nadel choir with Adon alum. Now, I think at Long Island, who is it? That's the Jesse Aronson Choir does that version, and it's wonderful. They do that every year at their concerts. Well, are you into the Super Bowl at all? Indianapolis and New Orleans, is that what it is? I guess so. And Helen and I are going to Indianapolis for a bat mitzvah in 3 weeks, so it'll be interesting. The Super Bowl will be over, and we'll see whether everybody is going to be deliriously happy or just happy. I mean, I think it's certainly an achievement to be in the Super Bowl. Well, why am I talking about the Super Bowl? Because that is going to be on February 7th, and there's a very special pre-Super Bowl party. Well, okay, not a party. It's a gathering of the CCA, the Cantorial Council of America, and it will be held at Riverdale Jewish Center, and the guest chazan, or the host chazan, is cantor Shimon Kramer. So I think it's appropriate that I play a couple of non-Chazonist selections, and then next week we'll play a Chazonist selection of the host cantor Shimon Kramer. A really lovely voice, and let's hear the first selection of Ein Kitzva, and this is Shimon Kramer. Kitzavo, bin ich neu That was Shimon Kramer with Ein Kitzva, and he will, as I mentioned, be the host cantor for pre-Super Bowl, and that's going to run from 11:30 to 4 o'clock. I think the Super Bowl is in the evening. So again, if you are a lover of Chazonis, I will be giving you the program next week, but save the date, February 7th. It's at the Riverdale Jewish Center, and it's sponsored by the Cantorial Council of America. Let's hear one more quick selection, Ma'ariv Kohen. Ma'are Kohen. Shimon Kramer.
גודל גדילים מירק צובויס מהרי כוי בדמוס הקשס בסויכי הומונון מהרי כוי אמס מה נבדו אויו כוי אין גודוי אמס מה נדע אויו כוי אין גודוי בצם יצוי מבייס קודשי הגודושים בשום הלוי בליף בגע כי יאור השהיל בשטול ניצורים מהרי כוי הרי כי בדם הנוסון בסייקים נסחמד עם מהרי מקוי אמס מענה דו אוי אוקוי אין גודוי למס מענה ודע אוי אוקוי אין גודוי בצה מצפוי ממס קודשי הגודושים ושום הלוי ולפגע אמס מענה דו אוי אוקוי אין גודוי
Well, that's the fastest hour in Jewish music, and we're coming up with the next fastest hour, the fastest 2 hours of Jewish music. As you know, the first hour is a mixture of everything but Chazonis, and we'll be coming up with Chazonis and an interview with cantor Jeffrey Nadel. Stick with us.